we started talking about with the youth. We started talking about the soldier, and I'm just gonna let's step down here because this feels awkward up here to, with paperwork and stuff. If that's okay with everybody. All right. We started in 2 Timothy. We're in Ephesians chapter 6. And I told the kids, I said, the teens, I said, Ephesians chapter 6 has one of the most cherished verses for any parent. You guys know which one that is?
No.
He does.
Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Right? Damien, what's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1? It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I like that one.
Yeah.
That fits me pretty good. I like that. I said, but you go on, the Bible is always pretty fair about things. If you go on a little bit farther, down to like verse 9, it says, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger.
Yeah.
I may or may not have been guilty of that in a little bit. As you can see, my children are back there hiding from me. There's Forrest and Lillian. Excuse me. All right, so what I do is I create these sheets. I do some PowerPoint stuff, but I create it mainly so that the kids have a way to write notes down so that if you need to, you can go back and you can look at this stuff and you can do some more research on it. What we studied before is we started talking about, first we talked in 2 Timothy about the soldier and the call of the soldier to the ministry and to what we're doing. And pretty much going back and making sure that the kids knew that everybody here is a soldier. We're all going to be fighting at some point or another. If you're not being challenged, if the fight's not at your doorstep now, it will be as a Christian at some point or another. And in here in Ephesians, we started talking about what the soldier does and what we're doing. And I told him, we're all called to be soldiers, but we're not fighting people. I'm not here to hurt somebody's feelings. I'm not here to hurt a person's feelings. I'm not here to hate people. I'm here to love people. That's what we're here to do. That's what Christ did. He's our example. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to love people. Our fight is against something else. Our fight is against, and it says it in verse 12, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. These are all things that are not necessarily people, but their ideas, their beliefs, their things that creep in. And the sad part is, some of this is things that creep into churches. And they take over. You'll get a tradition in the church that keeps you from growing or keeps you from doing something because everybody hails that tradition instead of listening to what needs to be done. Or you'll have somebody tell you something, and it sounds real good. It sounds very pleasant. And so you want to listen to that, what that person's saying. That could be somebody spiritual wickedness in high places. That could be rulers, powers, principalities. All these things are some type of government or some type of study system or things that you learn. And the problem is, what I try to communicate to them is when you get to a point where you're, and if I start talking too fast, raise hands and wave at me because I'll tend to talk way too fast. The problem is when you get to a point where something sounds really good, you have to make sure that the Bible says that it is good. That's our basis. That's where we've got to stop and we've got to go back and look at it. And we're going to talk about that some tonight. Because if you don't know what the Bible says about something, you'll follow just about anything. It's like if you don't know the truth, you'll fall for anything. If you don't believe in something, you'll fall for anything. So we got to know what the Bible says about the individual topics. So we have to study them. And we have to study the Bible. We have to learn so that we can answer these. Because those things that sound so nice, Paul talks about preachers with itching ears. And what he's talking about is preachers who want to preach to you whatever you want to hear. And unfortunately, we got a lot of that around. We got a lot of people out there that want to preach to you whatever you want to hear. And that's not what we need to grow as Christians. All right, it's kind of like salt tastes good, but if you spread it on your field, you're probably not going to get much of a crop. And that's the whole idea, is if you follow just what feels good, and you don't follow what the Bible's teaching us, even if it's maybe not comfortable for us at a time to understand, it's maybe hard to understand, maybe hard to follow at the time. If we don't follow that, then we're not going to grow. And we're not going to be able to stand. Excuse me. So, go on to talk about, and at the end of it, Paul talks about all this armor, and he talks about who we're wrestling against and what we're going to fight against and what the soldier is called to do. And in the end, the soldier is called to stand. We're to stand as an example. And the word stand, it's hold fast, is what Paul says. And it literally means to stay in one place, not to move, not to be pushed to the left, not to be pushed to the right, not to be pushed back, not to be pushed forward, but to stand where God has placed us as an example to the world. And that's what that armor is there, because we're going to get beat up. And we're going to get hurt. And that armor is a spiritual armor that protects us from what's coming. And we're going to talk about two pieces of that armor tonight. So, we are in Ephesians chapter 6, and only one verse. It's verse 14. Excuse me. If you turn to page 2, what I do with them is I'll put the verse down there. And I have them, if they don't bring the Bible, they can turn to if they've got their Bible, they can turn to the verse. If they don't, we'll read out the verse. And in verse chapter 6, verse 14, it says, "Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate, having on the breastplate of righteousness." So stand, he's saying it. I was always taught, whenever you find a therefore in the Bible, you should always go back and find, read behind where the therefore was to find what it's there for. Exactly. Fun play on words, right? Got to find what that therefore is there for. That's okay, I get the same looks from the kids when I say it too. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." So two very basic things. But if you think, and Paul... pretty sure he was in Rome at this time when he was writing this. He's surrounded by Roman centurions. The entire world, in fact, you can't go anywhere in the world without finding a Roman centurion somewhere. All right? So he's envisioning their armor when he's talking about this, and everybody would have known their armor. It's a fascinating set of armor. I don't know, to me, no, I used to sword fight. I obviously don't sword fight as much as I used to. But I used to sword fight, and I was okay at it, but I always liked using a gladius, which is only about this big. It's the Roman sword. It's not very big. It's double-edged. It's very quick. It's very fast. Does what you need it to do, and you can get in and get out. And I always liked that. That was fun for me. So I've always liked the Roman armor because of that. I've grown fascinated by the Roman armor. That tidbit, if Anne were here, she'd be going, "You're going down a rabbit hole." All right. Now, I just went off way over here. But the armor would have been very easy for people to picture. And it starts out with a belt, okay? And it goes on to a breastplate. Well, those are the two things that are necessary to protect almost all of your body. Because the Roman belt had a skirt. It had leather straps attached to it. And it looks like a skirt, and it looks funny until you realize how effective it is at protecting your legs from slashing weapons. It protects those legs. And if you're not able to stand, how are we supposed to be able to stand if we can't stand? If your legs get cut, you're not going to stand. So it talks about the belt. The other thing is the breastplate. And the breastplate protects the rest of the body from here to here. So these two pieces alone would cover almost the entire Roman centurion and protect him from a lot of different attacks. All right, so if we go to page 3... we see the belt of truth, all right? And our loins are girt about with the belt of truth. It literally covers almost from the knees just to the waist. And it's the very foundation of the armor. It's here, when you have the underclothes on, the Romans would wear some kind of long undergarment. And when you had the belt off, it would hang loose, and it would be very comfortable to move around in. It's kind of comfortable to stand around in. The Romans didn't believe in wearing pants. The Romans and Greeks actually thought that pants were, I forget the words that they used, but they thought that they were terrible for people to wear. So they didn't wear, they had them, but they wouldn't wear them. That's why they always wore the skirts and stuff. But it was just a one big piece outfit that would hang down. Well, if you're going to go into battle and you're running along, that one big piece outfit, well, it's comfortable when you're standing around, gets in your way. When you're having to be in battle, when you're having to defend yourself, you'll get tripped up on it, it'll get caught up on stuff. So what do? You got to tie it up. That's what the belt does. The belt pulls that tight, Not only does it offer protection, but it pulls the underclothes tighter so that you have a much more snug fit. So when you're moving, your whole body's moving and you're not having pieces slide around on your arm. Does that make sense? All right. Not losing anybody, right? Nobody's falling asleep yet. That's usually, oh, Damien, he's asleep. I lost him. All right. So the belt is like this very foundation of their armor. It's the very first thing that they're going to put on. It's the very first thing that they're going to have before they even put the breastplate on, the helmet. The only thing they might put on before that is shoes, and that's because they're wearing them at the time. So this is the very first thing that they're going to do if they're getting ready for battle. They're going to put that belt on. And it's the first thing we as Christians do. We have to learn the truth. We have our, we want to gird up all that we are and all that we have with truth. And the definition that I found in Strong's was, well, in, it's like Strong's, I forget the name of it, but it's the true things appertaining to God and the duties of man and moral and rigid, and blah, blah, blah. Let me slow down. What is the true things appertaining to God and the duties of man, moral and religious truth? So these are the things that we learn from the Bible. These are the very basic things that the Bible's teaching us, the Scripture's teaching us, that we're going to learn that help us and teach us how to do right, how to stand up straight. It keeps us tight. It keeps us together. It's the things that we need in order to be able to just to start facing the world. That very basic truth. And it's God's truth. I was reading an article on this, and it's kind of interesting the thought pattern he had, because he said, you could think of it like integrity. It's the version of integrity. That belt is always there to keep you, you know, it keeps your pants from falling down for us. It kept their clothing from getting in the way. It was a thing that kept them straight. And my dad told me, and he taught me a lot of good things. I didn't listen to him as much as I should, but he taught me a lot of good things. One of the things he taught me is his definition of integrity. And he said, Josh, integrity is doing the right thing when there's no one there to make you do it. And I'm like, wow, that's like, I thought Dad was Yoda for a little while. A really kind of tall Yoda. But, you know, because it made so much sense. Integrity is doing, and I never really followed it like I should in high school, but it's doing what I know I'm supposed to do, even when there's no one there to make me. And that's the same thing. That belt is the belt of truth. It's your witness as to who you are. Doing what you're supposed to do is that very foundation of who you are. All right. I didn't bring my notes. I brought another. See if I can remember this. All right, so 2 Timothy 3:16. Fortunately, I wrote everything down. You guys ever go to do something and forget your notes? Nobody?
Yeah. We all have.
We've all been there.
We've all been there.
So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Normally I'd make the teens read it for me, but I'll read it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's a, when I think of the belt of truth, that's what I think of right there. It is all of these things, the Scripture, given by the inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. And all of that is there, just like the belt keeps everything in line and is what everything snugs up to. All of that is there so that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That allows us to be able to stand up straight and do what we need to do. Now, you can go ahead and go to page 5. And I'll try not to... Wow, it gets loud when I go down, doesn't it? When I look down, it gets loud. I'm used to giving lectures and stuff like, not lectures, but one of the trainings I used to do, I used to have to do it without a microphone. So sometimes I'll get really loud and I'm trying to remember I've got a microphone. We need to remember that the Scriptures were given to us to use. They were given to us to learn. They were given to us to work with. And the way that that works is, and this is part of the class that I'm taking, is the scriptures are profitable for, the first one is doctrine, and the doctrine teaches us what's right. The next one is reproof. That tells us what's wrong. Okay? That gives us, we know what's right, we know what's wrong. And correction, that's knowing what's right and wrong is good, but knowing how to correct ourselves is just as important. The Bible's teaching us all this stuff. So it teaches us what's right through doctrine. It teaches us what's not right through reproof. It teaches us how to get right through correction. And, importantly, instruction in righteousness, it teaches us how to stay right. So, any questions? I don't get any questions either. I'm working on it. But so that's the belt. The last part is the breastplate of righteousness. Now, the breastplate consisted of two parts, and I like the description Polybius gives. He's a historian. Said a Roman soldier's breastplate was described by Polybius, and this is in the notes here, as a bronze plate measuring a span every which way, which they wear on their breasts, and they call a heart guard. I always thought that was kind of cool. The fact that the breastplate's actually called a heart guard. The Roman soldiers called it a heart guard. They called it a cardiofulex. That's that nice word down there. It looks weird, but it literally means guard of the heart, or heart guard. And the breastplate has two pieces. It protects the front. The back protects from the neck. And if you notice, they've got the Roman soldiers had those nice shoulders. They don't look very functional. But when you have somebody come across to do a nice uncomfortable head hit right here, that it hits the shoulders more often than it hits the head, and your helmet comes down to here. So it bounces off the shoulders, bounces off your head, and then you'd still be able to retaliate. So that breastplate would cover all the vital organs, front and back. All right. So no matter which way you're getting hit, you've got some kind of protection. And it's literally the thing was just to keep items from penetrating the soldier. You don't want to get poked. And the whole gist of it is protecting the heart. So we have to think about, the Roman soldiers used bronze, or they used leather, or whatever was handy at the time. The preferred bronze, that was the best for them, or iron, if you could get it. It's really heavy. But we have a breastplate made of righteousness, right? And I had to study it for a little while, and you get down and you start really pulling some stuff apart, and you look at things, and you read through, and you read it a couple more times, and you realize that just like the Roman soldiers didn't make their own breastplates, they were given the breastplates by the Roman army. The Roman military gave it to them. We're given our breastplate of righteousness by God. The breastplate's not ours. It's not our righteousness. It's God's righteousness. When we get saved, our heart is protected by God. We need to remember that we have that on. We need to remember that we're using it. We need to remember that we have it. That breastplate of righteousness protects the very heart that we have, and it protects all of the rest of us too. The definition of righteousness is more could specifically say Christian justification or equity of character or action. So it's who we are. It's what people see. The first thing you'd see is the breastplate of that soldier. You'd see that soldier, and this breastplate protects us. And the big thing for me is it's God's protection, because while I might carry the shield and I might carry a sword, it doesn't matter how good you are. Eventually, something's going to get through your ability to defend, and it's going to hit you. And that breastplate is so important to have on, because when it hits us, we might go down. So I've been hit. I used to play pretty rough. I got hit in the chest. I had on armor. It actually, and I was using, it was a slightly padded sword, so it wasn't like it really hit me hard, but it dented the armor a little. And it hurt. I went down. He got me good. And I went down on one knee. And all I can think about is our ability to protect ourselves may not cover all the time. But that breastplate will always be there to stop that blow. Because God is protecting us. And once we've taken that blow, even if it's something that we did wrong, it hurts. We go down on one knee, but what do? When we're on one knee, you pray. You ask for forgiveness. You pray for strength. You pray for guidance. You study. These are things that we as Christians have built into what God gave us. Just in these two pieces of armor, we have the integrity of our character and the righteousness of God that is protecting us. Just in the very basic pieces of our armor, the two most basic pieces of armor that we can wear in this grouping. And we have more powerful armor than anybody else could describe on earth. And it always gets me excited. I do like medieval weapons. I like this sort of stuff. But to think that God took time out to make sure that we knew that we would be protected. That we knew that we had not only a defense, not only that we were going to be attacked, but that we had a way to stand through that defense, or through that attack. That gives me hope and strength that I can't put a true hand on. I can't. I can't put a word to it that would make it good enough. I need to get with Ronnie. He needs to give me a good Ronnie word. He comes up with some good words. It's like that just fits perfect. The word down there, the word for righteousness, it was actually spelled, and I just remembered, fortunately, because I forgot to write it down. The old English spelling for it is right wiseness. Right wiseness. So you think about it, right wiseness, it actually fully describes what the word is. There's no need. The wisdom that's given to us, that right wiseness, that knowledge that we're protected by God, that I'm going to ramble, and Ann's going to come in here and get me. So, this is the last of it. I tried to speed up a little. I got one more verse. Proverbs 24, verse 16. One of the things I found I was doing back there was taking too much time. And talking too long, I'd always get caught. Everybody would be gone out here before I can get out of here. Have people come back looking for me. Did you guys get lost? Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16 is our last verse. And it says, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief." And good old Solomon, he had a lot of good knowledge on that. But, there are going to be times when we're going to make mistakes. We're going to trip, we're going to fall, we're going to do something else. But this word in verse 16 says, "For a just man," it's the same basic word for righteous man. So a righteous man will fall seven times. And you know what makes the difference between a righteous man and a non-righteous man is the fact that he'll get back up. And he'll stand. Whereas the wicked will fall into mischief. Once they're knocked over, they're just going to go away. They're not going to try to keep doing what they need to do. They're going to go away. So, one of the things I try to give everybody at the end, and Damien, this will apply for next week. Anybody else is going to be here. Memory verses, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. The one verse we've been covering all night. Damien's looking at me like, that's a lot of words. Are there any questions? Anybody want to add anything? I really like discussion and talking. Uh-oh, Lily.
Probably a good word for what you're looking for is probably agape. Mm-hmm. Because it's the translation for love in the New Testament and also for charity.
Mm-hmm. Yep, agape is the word for love it's the word for love in the New Testament. God's love. It's a good word. Anybody else?
Is it chapters?
Yes, right.
In the beginning, you said God is good.
Right. Definitely. Yeah. I really like that question because it throws people off. Like, well, what do you mean, is God good? Of course he's good. But show me. And that's, like I said, one of the things I really want to aim for with this, with the kids back there, and you guys are welcome to come back there and if you want to and hang out with me for a little bit or you know, see what I'm doing. But I really want to give the youth, the teenagers, the ability to look up what they need to look up. Damien's already doing real good at that. He did the men's breakfast. It was really good. But not just to look it up, but to be able to answer those questions when people ask, not just for other people, but for themselves, because it's something that I'm seeing a lot of, that people don't have an answer for things. The kids get out, and you watch guys like Frank Turek or Ravi Zacharias or some of the great apologists, they'll be up there talking, and some of the questions that Frank Turek gets from Christian, you know, teenagers or young adults that are in college are really basic questions that we would hope they would learn from church. And it may be that there's a gap sometimes from elementary school where we're learning David and all the good stuff there to teenagers where we need to get into that really deeper study and start pulling stuff apart and showing them how things work. Anybody ever pull your dad's radio apart and put it back together? I did that once.
Probably didn't work either.
Henry
always liked the very first verse. That's the one he's been trying to teach the kids. Shows the kids.
Ephesians 6:1.
Yes. He's always, he likes them to read that, so they'll kind of get the idea that, you know,
you're
supposed to honor their mother and their father.
And it is the first thing that is promised to give you, that has, it's the first. Was it commandment with promise? Yeah.
Yes.
It's good.
With promise.